Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Steel Town Sleepers. It is week six and we are diving into the fantasy football matchups, picking out guys from the middle of the pack that we think are either going to impress or guys you need to stay away from to help you win your week, especially in these mid-season bye weeks where people are wondering, who do I drop? Who do I start? Who gets me through? We're here for you. My name is Tony Squares. As always, I'm joined by Chris Dell. He is the sports editor at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette who presents this lovely podcast, both on the North Shore Drive podcast channel and on the YouTube channel at PG Sports. Now check them out if you want all your coverage about the Steelers. The Penguins have started. We have NHL starting. It's a wonderful time to be a Pittsburgh sports fan, and PG Sports now has you covered, as does the Post Gazette. And we're here to talk about some fantasy football, including a little Steelers bye week talk, because we got to get the Steelers in there somehow. Dell, what a difference a week makes. I mean, my Packers stink. Your Bengals are off the mat, and the Steelers are somehow leading their division. What a difference a week makes, my friend.
The sky was falling last week after the Steelers lost to Houston, and now the Steelers are going to the Super Bowl, Tony. I mean, it's already done. It's given, set in stone. Even though everyone still wants Matt Canada fired, that's the one thing that hasn't changed here in Pittsburgh.
Consensus. So he was getting fire Matt Canada chance at the Pittsburgh Penguins game. It's awful for Canada right now. He can't go anywhere.
That's right. That's for sure. I wonder if you'll hear him at the Riverhounds game coming up this weekend. We got some soccer playoffs going on too. But yeah, man, you know, last week I think I had an overall pretty solid week on my personal fantasy teams. My fantasy favorites article, it was either really big hit or really big miss. I was down on Najee Harris, which I've been multiple times this year. Another good hit. Unfortunately, Tony, I was down on George Pickens.
Well, and we got to talk about George Pickens, Dell.
That's your boy. I will say Pickens is your boy, and I was wrong on that, so I'm going to take the L. However, we'll get into the implications of it.
Yeah, I want to talk about that because it is the bye week for the Pittsburgh Steelers. It is also time to talk about some of these Pittsburgh Steelers, because in the middle of your fantasy football leagues, in the middle of these seasons, you got to make moves on your roster. You got to know when the iron is hot so you can strike. And it might be time to dangle some of these players who have been playing well, or it might be time to scoop up some of these players that have been playing poorly or coming back from injury. It's trade time in fantasy football seasons. And I want to bring up George Pickens in particular, because Dell, if you look at the season-long rankings, I would be right. I came on this show. One of the first things I said is I am buying George Pickens this year as a top wide receiver. I would get him in every draft you can. And right now, the numbers say that I am right. He was wide receiver 13 on the year. But three of his five games, he has been an absolute bust when it comes to the fantasy football rankings. Wide receiver 38, wide receiver 60, wide receiver 70. And then two of those weeks, like last week, he's exploded for huge plays, touchdowns, big catches. And that's what you're expecting out of Pickens. So altogether, he's wide receiver 13, but it is very two-faced. It is very either boom or bust with this guy. So, Dell, my question to you is, in this bye week, just coming off a huge game that Pickens had against a division rival, won them that game, are you buying or selling George Pickens right now?
Well, here's how I approach fantasy. Well, I think you're right. Like the two big games that we've seen Pickens have, he broke off a long touchdown, right? Mm-hmm. If you're going to tell me that Kenny Pickett's audibly out of plays that Matt Canada calls, then maybe I wouldn't have been so low on George Pickens last week. So now we know, but you live and learn, you adjust. Yeah. I think it all depends on what you can get, man. You know, the lead of my weekly fantasy column last weekend was basically trade DJ Moore, sell DJ Moore. You know, you're never going to be able to get a better price after a guy on a Thursday night game, island game, goes for three touchdowns, 200 plus yards, right? Yeah. So I think you need to test the waters in the market, see what you can get for George Pickens, because the realities are after the bye, Deontay Johnson's going to be coming back. Those are targets that will go elsewhere. I love the fact Pickens got 10 plus targets last week. If you tell me he's going to get 10 plus targets every week, I'm going to love him, and I'm going to start him with confidence every week. But Freiermuth eventually will be back as well. You know, will the Steelers be playing from behind every single week? I'm not so sure, because their schedule isn't the toughest in the world coming off the bye either. So The defense is legit. They were helped by some drops by the Ravens tight end, Mark Andrews, and receivers. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Alex Highsmith and TJ Watt can get after it with the best of them. So I would say sell Pickens with a disclaimer if you can, right? Like if the price is right. I'm not trading away George Pickens for some scrub running back just because I might need a better RB2. I want some elite talent back in return. If I can package Pickens with a second player to get a David Montgomery, that's something I'd be willing to do. If I could package Pickens off this game with someone else and do a 2-for-1 and buy low on Tony Pollard or CeeDee Lamb, yes, that is something that I'm going to do. So take it with a grain of salt. That's what you have to do with all these fantasy takes. I'm either holding George Pickens or I'm selling him. It's hard to say buy Pickens if you don't have him because you don't want to buy at the highest price possible, which is where he's at right now.
Let me ask you before we move off of the Pittsburgh Pickens thing. The guy who's wide receiver 12, I think, is a very similar case study when it comes to wide receivers. And it's Gabe Davis out of Buffalo, where it's a couple of games he had huge plays, big touchdowns, and a couple of games he was really silent. He's more consistent than Pickens because that Buffalo offense is better. But do you see the same situation with a Gabe Davis, where it's like, this is a guy, you're starting him every week regardless, but some weeks you're going to be really happy and some weeks you're going to lose?
Yeah, actually, in my weekly fantasy fallout column, it's a kind of a fantasy strategy article. I go through trade targets, waiver ads, drops, etc. I have a sell high list at the bottom, and you have to qualify. You have to be ranked inside in terms of fantasy points of the season in the top 20 at wide receiver to qualify for the list. And Gabe Davis made my short list of sell high candidates. He's in a great situation. He's got a great quarterback with him, but the fact is he's only seen more than 5 targets in a couple games this year, so the volume is low. And if these big plays don't hit, he's going to bust in your lineup. So if he's your third or fourth best receiver, I think you can live with that most weeks. But again, like, you want to try to sell at the highest point possible. I would say the same thing applies for Adam Thielen still, even though I would wait one more week because Thielen has a dream slot matchup against Miami this week. But Jacoby Myers, Mike Evans, who's hard to sell a guy when he's hurt, Gabe Davis, Adam Thielen, those are the guys, in addition to DJ Moore, are kind of in that sell high list for me. Sell them for as high as you can, see what you can get to improve your roster, not for the short term, but for the long term.
Speaking of buys and sells, let's dive into week 6. Let's go. We go through every position. We give a couple of guys that we're high on, a couple of guys that we're low on. And again, we're the Steeltown sleepers. We're not giving out Pat Mahomes as the QB that you should start because you're going to be starting Pat Mahomes regardless. Okay. We're trying to find guys that are in the middle of the pack that we think can win or lose you some certain weeks. Excited to talk about it. Excited to talk about QBs because we both did really well in a couple of these picks last week. But before we get there, can't lay off Pittsburgh for too long because the great Yinzer tailgate is bringing the best of the Berg to South Point on November 4th, showcasing Pittsburgh's rich culture, iconic sports history, and vibrant community spirit. The great Yinzer tailgate will immerse you in the unique blend of traditions that make Pittsburgh legendary. Visit www.thegreatyinzertailgate.com for details. See Yinz there. Oh, man, that was a fun one to get through. Let's go to quarterbacks, though, Dell. Last week, we had a lot of fun with quarterbacks. We had a lot of sells in the quarterback division. You sold Trevor Lawrence. He only ended up as QB 15. I sold CJ Stroud, sadly, and he was only QB 17. So we were right on the money there, guys, we were staying away from. Excited to see where you go here because there's a lot of interesting matchups. So, Dell, your first QB off the board, who we got? Now you're buying or selling them?
Okay, what I'm going to do here, you know me. You know I love my rushing quarterbacks, right, Tony? But yeah. I'm just going to group 3 guys together for the sake of not repeating myself. I'm all in on Trevor Lawrence this week.
Really?
I love Trevor Lawrence, Matthew Stafford, and Joe Burrow, 3 traditional pocket passers who don't like to run. They have fantastic matchups on paper here. Lawrence is going against a pass funnel Colts secondary that's ranked 25th out of 32 NFL teams in PFF opponent coverage grade. Joe Burrow, we saw how healthy and how good he looked. That was the longest touchdown of his career in terms of air yards the ball traveled, with Jamar Chase's 60-plus yard touchdown catch last week on the road against Arizona. Big win for them there. Seattle secondary is nothing you're afraid of there. They're ranked 23rd in PFF coverage grade. And then the Rams going at home, dream matchup. He's got Cooper Kupp healthy now. He's got Puka Nacua balling out. The Cardinals are ranked 30th out of 32 teams in PFF coverage grade. So those 3 guys, to me, normally I wouldn't be too high on them week to week in terms of, like, I probably have them ranked around average versus the consensus rankings. I'm significantly higher on all 3 of those guys. I love those pass funnel matchups, which, you know, at the same time, those defenses are pretty good at defending the run in terms of Seattle and the Colts. So I think that just adds to the more passing upside these guys can get and not getting much from their legs at the same time in week 6.
Well, I was going to double down on one of those guys. And again, you're taking three guys off the bat. You're leaving no one for me. But Joe Burrow was my number one start. And if to me, it's kind of like, does he qualify for the sleeper status? Because if you drafted Joe Burrow, you might have dropped him by now. He was having such a poor start to the season. But Joe Burrow, at full health with that Cincinnati offense, how many is a top five QB every week, in my opinion, rushing or no rushing, because the passing is so good. And this week, Seattle just likes to let up 300-yard quarterbacks. The bad part is what we saw against Daniel Jones the last time Seattle played has everyone thinking that this Seattle team is a legendary defense. Nah, I just think the New York Giants are a terrible, terrible offense, especially offensive line. And yes, Devin Witherspoon, the cornerback for Seattle, could be a real playmaker here, could create some problems. I just think Seattle can be thrown on, and Joe Burrow is going to have a big day. So I'm going to take Burrow as well. Dell, your second quarterback, and by second, I mean your fourth quarterback you want to give out. Do we want to jump right to the bust of the week from the quarterback position?
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Like, Stafford's really the only guy who can be considered a sleeper, because right now consensus has Lawrence ranked as number 8, Burrow ranked as number 9. I think those guys are like top 5 elite status. So if you somehow are in a shallow 10-team league and you're trying to figure out who to start between Lawrence and somebody else, I'm going to lean Lawrence more often than not. I'm going to tell you the one guy I don't like who's ranked actually number 6 overall ahead of those guys this week. And it's not due to talent. It's not due to matchup. It's due to game situation and environment. And I frankly am a little down on Tua Tagovailoa this week for the Dolphins, right?
Interesting.
I don't think the Panthers right now, with how Bryce Young is playing, with how the coaching staff is talking, just the overall sentiment on that team, their run defense is absolutely atrocious. I just Miami at home as 13.5-point favorites. Like, how long are they going to need to have Tua and Tyreek on the field in this game? I would say Tua gets 75% plus of his fantasy points in the first half.
Yeah.
And then I don't know how much he plays after that, because I think this game could be an absolute slaughter.
It's a Mike White game.
I think Raheem Mostert's going to run crazy on the Panthers, because they've been giving up record-setting performances to opposing running backs all year. 29th in PFF run defense, 24th in ESPN's run-stop win rate for Carolina. So I just think the volume, the game script's not going to lend to a pass-happy approach. And if somehow the running backs get a couple touchdowns early, you could be looking at Tua having a very efficient day. He could go 20 for 20, but if he only ends up with one or two touchdowns, he's not going to run much. He's not going to do much for you. So I've got him right outside the top 12 as QB 13, which is 7 spots lower than consensus this week.
I like that. I like that a lot. The QB that I want to talk about is also a sell, and I hate doing this, man, because you know how much I love this guy. And for the second week in a row, I'm selling CJ Stroud. His quarterback rankings are only in the middle of the field, but if you have CJ Stroud, you might have already traded for CJ Stroud to be your QB, because you busted on another pick, like a Daniel Jones. CJ Stroud is a really, really tough matchup this week. The New Orleans defense, and I hate to say it because I don't like the Saints at all, that defense is really, really good. The most passing yards they've given up was 259 to my guy Jordan Love. And we remember that game. They were up 17-0 through three quarters. Jordan Love couldn't do a thing, and then that fourth quarter, everything fell apart. I don't know who's going to win this game. Because I think Houston's a very good team, and I don't trust New Orleans offense, but I do think it's a very low scoring, slow paced, ball control game. Houston can't really run the ball, but they tried over and over again last week in their game. They keep on feeding Damian Pierce, even though to me it's not a good system. CJ Stroud's really good, and he's going to be the future of that team. I'm very excited for Houston this week, though. I don't think I'm starting him against New Orleans. That's my bust. And did you have another bust of the week, or was two of your bust of the week there?
It was my bust, and I'm with you on Stroud. I'm one spot lower than consensus. I mean, if you got him and you have no other options, let's say Anthony Richardson. I'm in two situations where Anthony Richardson's now in my IR spot, and Stroud's my other guy, and it's between Stroud and Dobbs. The way Dobbs looked last week, things kind of unraveled on him. Now he's on the road against Aaron Donald and company, so I'm probably gonna lean Stroud in that case, even with the tougher matchup. If the Saints somehow push the Texans a little bit here and the Texans have to play catch up, maybe we could see some junk time passing yards rack up in a second half for Stroud. So that's where I'd be on him, but I'm with you on that one.
Let's jump to running backs, because me and you had a battle last week at the first running back we talked about. You were buying Kyren Williams. I was selling Kyren Williams, and I won that head-to-head matchup. Just an interesting game. The Rams are a sneaky good team. Like, you cannot count the Rams out of any game whatsoever. But Kyren did not have the best day in at RB 31, but you did great. You busted Ramondre Stevenson. He ended up RB 44. Your other sell was Alexander Mattison. You got wicked unlucky. The guy's RB 18, but that's only because he scored a touchdown late. The guy had 4.1 points otherwise. So, like, you, great pick on Alexander Mattison, selling him. I gave out Montgomery to continue his touchdown streak, and lo and behold, he did. That's the RB 5. Me and you nailed the running back position last week, as long as we don't go head to head on it. Who do you got going first? Because you've already mentioned a couple of teams that I want to dive into on the All running right. back side. So I'm interested to see where you go first.
All right, man. Let's start. I got a couple guys, and I got another running back bust. Well, before we wrap up this position segment and move on to receiver, but it's all about Swiftie season, Tony. Swiftie
season. DeAndre Swift?
All day long. Forget about Taylor Swift. We're not talking about Taylor Swift over here. We're talking about DeAndre. That's the only Swift in my book, the only Swift that matters. So DeAndre Swift has just been he's been awesome this year. He's shot out of a cannon, running behind this offensive line. He's the picture-perfect type of running back to put into this offense, and kudos to Howie Roseman for continuing to take advantage of the incompetence around the league of, like, why – did Detroit have such issues with a guy like DeAndre Swift? And then they draft his, like, undersized clone in Jahmyr Gibbs with a top 12 pick. And now they don't even want to use him. It's just DeAndre Swift 2.0 all over again in Detroit, Tony. I mean, that's exactly what's going on with Jahmyr Gibbs right now. And I think Swift, he's a bigger back than Gibbs. But look, man, the last four games now, DeAndre Swift, 28 carries in week two, and then even with Gainwell back, 16 carries, 14 carries, 17 carries, and six targets, a season-high six targets in week five. If they use him as a third, fourth receiving option next to Devonta Smith, A.J. Brown, and Dallas Goedert, then, man, like, DeAndre Swift's going to continue to eat. The regression for touchdowns is also going to come in a positive manner. Yes, I know that if they get down to the one or even the two, they're likely to use the tush push, but not all touchdowns are scored that way. And he can easily score from the three, from the four, from the five, from the 10. He's an explosive back. This is a very good offensive line. So against this Jets team, I expect Philly to have a pretty good handle of things in this game, which could lead to more carries for DeAndre Swift, and probably also a little bit late for Kenneth Gainwell as well, who could be maybe kind of a sleeper type of flex play in very deep leagues too. So I'm all about DeAndre Swift, 20-plus touches again this week, and I'd be surprised if at some point we don't get a multi-touchdown game from Swift as well.
Interesting, man. I mean, he's fooling around for comeback player of the year at DeAndre Swift. This is how good this season is going. The guy that I want to give out, listen, I wanted to give out Raheem Mostert here because I love going against his Carolina defense, but I feel like that's too obvious of a pick. I'll go for a guy ranked one spot below Raheem Mostert here, and a guy that I think could end up not just a top five running back, could be RB1 by the end of the season, because they're coming off of a bye, or RB1 by the end of the week, I should say. They're coming off of a bye. It's a juicy matchup. This team likes to run the ball, and also they're going up against an offense that they're kind of worried about, I think. We already talked about the offense a lot in our QB section. I think this is going to be a ball control game for this team. They're going to try and control the line of scrimmage. They're going to try and control the game on the road. And I think Seattle is going to use Kenneth Walker over and over and over again. Dell, your Bengals, I really like your pass rush. I really like how the teams come together. You guys cannot stop the run to save your lives. Nick Chubb had a huge day against you. Baltimore running backs had a huge day against you. Derrick Henry had the best day of his season against you. And then last week, when James Conner went down, he was on his way to a great day. And then his backup, Amari DiMarcado, had another excellent day against your Cincinnati team. And this was an Arizona team that was trying to get back into the game. The game script was not to run the ball, and they still got almost 100 yards on the ground against you guys. I think Seattle tries to run the ball a lot. I think Kenneth Walker gets a bunch of opportunities, and I think there are open lanes in that Cincinnati run defense. I'm big on Kenneth Walker as my first RB off the board here. Dell, your second RB.
I would also say another deep sleeper in that same game would be Zach Charbonnet. Typically, we see rookies coming off a bye get more usage. Seattle's coming up the bye. They last played in week four. He's a talented back, man. If you watch him play on tape, he looks, you know, just as juicy as Kenneth Walker does on some of those runs there. So I think that's a buy low candidate to add to your bench in fantasy leagues for the rest of the season as well. But I'm buying back in on Kyren Williams this week, Tony. It's all about the matchup, right? Like, typically, look, like, Kyren Williams last week for me, And I think for most people, like you kind of had to start him no matter what, because he's ranked inside the top 10, right? He's getting 20 plus touches a game. However, the matchup is tough, and Philly's been extremely stout against opposing running backs this season. And what you saw was the target share he had seen in weeks 1 through 4 really got reduced a lot with the return of Cooper Kupp. So I think that that's a logical assumption to make as long as Kupp and Nakua are healthy in this offense. However, we do see a game here where the Rams are at home. They're touchdown favorites against a Cardinals defense that ranks 29th in ESPN's run stop win rate. They're also bottom 10 in PFF rushing defense grade as well. So I just think that this is the game script you want Kyren in, where they're not going to be just throwing a ton from behind. Now, don't get me wrong. I told you I like Stafford before. To me, it's arrows up for every member of this Rams offense in this game in week 6 against Arizona. And I think Stafford, Nakua, Kupp, Tutu Atwell, Kyren, those five guys, it'd be really hard for me to not start one of them as long as they're on my roster here in week 6.
Love it. Love it. And this is a guy, speaking about roster, I'm happy you brought that up, because the second running back I want to talk about is a guy that I'm selling. But this is probably a guy that you looked at on your free agent wire because of injuries, because of bye weeks, and he might be on your team. And you're like, I think I got to pull the trigger on this guy. We can't bash on the Carolina Panthers enough. And if there are any Panthers fans out there listening, we're sorry. But this matchup against Miami is a terrible matchup if you have either Miles Sanders or his backup Chuba Hubbard. Miles is questionable to play right now. He's got a shoulder injury. It might be Hubbard taking the start. You may have picked up Hubbard this week on the fantasy wire to try and see, like, hey, I might have a starting running back here. I cannot say this enough. Do not start either of these running backs today, because after week one, the Miami Dolphins let Austin Ekeler and Joshua Kelly run all over them in week one. After week one, there's not a running back in the world Miami has faced that has over 50 rushing yards. It's not even close to a solid offense. Now, is that because the Miami defense is very good? I do think they made some changes after Austin Ekeler did whatever he wanted, and they're definitely focused more on stopping the run, but also it's game script. Miami was throwing the ball all over the place. They play really fast. They want to win the game. Even when New England tried to ground and pound and hold on to the ball and win the time of possession game, they still couldn't get big runs on there. They handed the ball off a lot, but nothing was ever produced. I think Carolina's a smart team. I don't think they're a very good team. I think they're going to try to run the ball. I just don't see anything coming of it. And sooner or later, they're going to be down 3 scores, and they're going to have to try and pass to make it a competitive game. I am out on the running back position for Carolina. I'm selling officially Chuba Hubbard, but if Miles Sanders gets a start, selling him as well. Dell, your bust of the week from the RB position.
Is anybody really considering starting Gus Edwards this week? I don't know. The reason I ask is because he's ranked inside the top 36, and that's usually, you know, RB2, RB3 flex range. But we saw Justice Hill. He was one of the leads in my fantasy fall column in terms of waiver wire ads to make. Guys who are owned, deeper sleepers, right? Guys who are owned in 25% or less of leagues. And I've got Justice Hill ranked well ahead of Gus Edwards this week. Gus Edwards is the consensus RB32. I've got him 13 spots lower at RB45. And this is a Titans defense. Look, they were gashing a couple runs. I don't know what happened with Zach Moss and the Colts last week. So kudos to Moss more than anything. But every other game this year, the Titans run defense has been very stout against opposing backs. And I think that Gus Edwards, he's a one-dimensional type of running back. They're also supposed to get Keaton Mitchell back at some point. He's been slated to come off the IR. If you got an IR spot on your bench on your fantasy team, I would definitely recommend adding Keaton Mitchell. He was on my IR stashes list in the article at post-gazette.com too. However, what I will say about Gus Edwards is that, like, he's not going to catch passes. He's playing in a tough matchup here. So I would try to keep him out of your starting lineup if you're in a 12, 14 team type of league. Let's go with the main bust, though. To me, it's in a very similar vein.
That wasn't even your main, but you just buried Gus Edwards for 3 minutes. That's not even your main bust.
The same game I just want to touch on real quick, because to me, these are two of the top 10 running defense in the league. We saw what happened to Najee Harris last week against the Ravens, right? And that's why I say similar things here about Derrick Henry. Now, look, I was wrong 2 weeks ago, and I faded Derrick Henry against the Bengals. And, you know, like you said, the Bengals rush defense especially has not looked good in any game this week. But every other game besides that Bengals game, Derrick Henry has not played well. And week 5 was the first time all season that we saw Tajay Spears play more snaps. He's been running more routes all year, but actually got more touches overall. Tajay Spears, this guy has the juice, man. Like, he's got the juice in this offense. He's running the routes. He's catching the passes. He's more prone to make explosive plays. And there's these lingering rumors about, will the Titans ever trade away Derrick Henry before it's too late, given the state of their franchise right now? Are they really going for a playoff spot? What are they doing here? So I think that this is a down matchup on paper. The role is slipping a little bit. This isn't the Derrick Henry role where we've seen 25 touches a game. I think you're lucky at this point if he gets up to 20 touches. And against this Ravens defense here, it could be tough sledding because they have been pretty stout against the run.
I will say the only thing in the favor of Derrick Henry versus the Tajee Spears road is that this is the last game before Tennessee's bye. And during that bye week is usually when you see wholesale changes to the formula on offense. And so this might be Derrick Henry's last hurrah, but I'm fully right there with you. Tajee Spears is the running back of the future, and it stinks. King Henry is not what he once was. But let's move on to the wide receiver position.
Do not let Tajay Spears sit on waivers, by the way. Even if you're not going to start him this week, you have to keep him off waivers. Make sure he's on your team.
That guy should be 100% owned in fantasy football. We'll go on to wide receivers, and I want to bring this up because we already talked about a QB that we both agree on in Joe Burrow. Last week, I think, was the first time we both agreed. I wouldn't let you take this guy away from me. We both agreed on the man, D-Hop, DeAndre Hopkins. He ended up as the wide receiver 8. Just a throwback the clock performance by D-Hop. He was contested catches all over the place. Couldn't get an ounce of separation. It didn't matter. That guy was making toe touches on the sideline. Great pick by both me and you. So let's dive in using the, because I have, I'm not, I don't want to, I don't want to, I don't want to go too crazy here, Del. I want to be a little bit secret about it. I don't want the world to know. I got the buy of the year on the wide receiver position. I got the buy of the effing year on the wide receiver position because I'm feeling a breakout, baby. But I'll let you go first, and if you take him, I'm killing the show. I'm leaving the show. We're leaving early. But who's the wide receiver you want to take?
Yeah, I hope you're not thinking of Calvin Ridley.
Oh, he was on my short list.
He was on my buy low trade targets list on the Fantasy Fallout article. And look, like, this is all I've gotten the feeling here doing my rankings just for this week specifically that this is one of those weeks where matchups going to play a huge role because we know what some of these defenses are at this point. Yes. And why did Hopkins do so well in week 5? Well, he's obviously a talented guy, but the Colts are a pass funnel defense. And who do the Colts play? Why do I like Trevor Lawrence this week? You know, if Zay Jones is out, I'm going to love both Calvin Ridley and Christian Kirk together. You can't really separate the two here. The two leading receivers, and these two teams play each other in week 1. Let's remember that. Calvin Ridley, 11 targets, 8 catches, 101 yards, and a touchdown. Zay Jones had 7 targets and 5 catches in that game as well. We've seen Christian Kirk balling out. As long as he's on the field in these two receiver sets, he's going to get fed targets, having that rapport with Trevor Lawrence over the last couple of years. So to me, Calvin Ridley and Christian Kirk, I'm considerably higher on these guys in the consensus ranks. I've got overall, when you look at the ECR in terms of 200 plus other analysts in the industry, they've got Calvin Ridley as wide receiver 12. I have him 7th overall. They have Christian Kirk as wide receiver 22. I've got him as 17th overall. And I'm not even sure if I'm as high as I should be on these guys here. So it's the matchup to me. Trevor Lawrence is starting to pick things up a little bit. And if Zay Jones is ruled out, which I don't think he's practiced yet this week, both these guys are going to be a smash in the same game here. I love the double stack for DFS going to Lawrence, Ridley, and Kirk in the same lineup as well.
The only thing that scares me about that play, because he was on my short list, but he wasn't probably going to be one of the guys I mentioned, is, as you said, Ridley destroyed this team in week 1, and they're playing each other again, divisional matchup. I just got to feel like the number one person on the board in the defensive room there is stop Calvin Ridley. So I fully understand Ridley. I don't know if they can either. I don't know if they have the opportunity to. Let me tell you about another team that doesn't have a single chance in hell to stop this wide receiver this weekend, okay? We have talked about it a lot, how bad this Tennessee defense is, and we're talking about from the passing game. And it has been porous, to say the least. Tennessee this year has allowed big games to Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, Michael Thomas. All three of those wide receivers you could have started week 1 in New Orleans, they would have been good for you. Keenan Allen and Mike Williams were also two great starts. Amari Cooper and Elijah Moore, also two great starts. Jamar Chase, another great game. And then last week, Josh Downs and Michael Pittman Jr. with Gardner Minshew throwing him the football were starts against that Tennessee defense. And then this week,
give it to me.
Praise the Lord. Zay Flowers is going to have the breakout week we've been waiting for. Zay Flowers has has been a good wide receiver, not a great wide receiver, a good wide receiver, but he is leading the Baltimore Ravens in targets no matter who's on the field. Odell, Rashad Bateman, Mark Andrews, Zay Flowers is leading this Ravens team in targets. 3 of 5 games, he has 10 or more targets. Lamar has found his new favorite toy, and it is Zay Flowers, and Zay Flowers is going to explode in England. That's the only thing that scares me about this, that is we are across the pond here. You never know how these games are going to turn out, but if the first 5 weeks are telling us anything, this is a beautiful matchup for Zay Flowers. I think he destroys this Titans offense, and he might get 15 targets and a huge amount of yards from this. I'm so pumped for him. He hasn't touched the end zone yet. Waiting for that, too. I think this is the week. I'm all aboard. This is my buy of the year, Dev. I would start him everywhere.
He was on my buy. I listed 10 receivers. He was one of the 10 I listed in terms of buy low. He's wide receiver 31 on the year. The thing you got to like the most about Zay Flowers, in the first couple weeks of the season, they were using him on extremely type of gadgety, short route roles. He's seen multiple week increases in his average that the target is A-dot. So they're using him deep down the field. And one of the plays last week, he could have went for like a 50, 60 plus yard touchdown, wind up just falling down on the route.
So, oh my God, it was so bad.
That one play alone could have vaulted him up to like wide receiver 20 on the year. Mm-hmm. And then you're not talking about a buy low, but the role is increasing. And outside of Mark Andrews, I mean, this wide receiver room is absolutely, I don't want to curse on this show. So it's bad.
Garbaggio. Like, we'll just say it's garbaggio.
Yeah, it's bad. Rashad Bateman, I mean, he's going through some type of midlife existential crisis there. He's getting, wide open touchdown passes right off his fingers. Beckham just can't stay healthy for a full game. I mean, let's just call it how it is. So, yeah, I agree. I love the Zay Flowers call. If you're debating between Zay Flowers and a fringe wide receiver with a bad matchup, I'd even consider starting him over like a Deebo Samuel this week, who's going up against the Cleveland Browns 100%. Defense.
So. I'd start him over Amari Cooper. I'd start him over a bunch of these guys. And Zay Flowers, to me, like, not only does he have all these targets, he leads the team in receiving red zone targets, and they're running rushing plays to him. None of them have worked yet. Believe me, it's been ugly down there in the goal line section, but they're trying over and over again. They are trying to get this guy into the end zone on gadget plays. He is number one option on this team, and it's going to be a huge day for him. Zay Flowers, second wide receiver you want to talk about before we get to the bust of the week at the wide receiver position out of you.
I grouped Ridley and Kirk together there, right? And I'm with you.
Ridley and Kirk are 1-2.
And gotcha. I'm high on Zay. And just to give you a little bit of context here, I've got Zay Flowers 3 spots ahead of consensus. I'm probably going to wind up moving him up once we see more of the injury reports develop for other teams across the league. I have Zay Flowers, just for context, ranked ahead of, you mentioned Mari Cooper. I have him ahead of Cooper. I have him ahead of Jordan Addison, Jalen Waddle, Tyler Lockett, Jacoby Myers, Garrett Wilson. So those are the type of guys that I'm starting Zay Flowers over in week 6 with confidence as well. I'm going to go to a guy that I'm not too high on this week, actually. I'm going to group 2 guys together where the same process and decision-making applies here, Tony. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to take your guy here, okay?
I'm pretty sure I've asked you for one guy every time, and you'd be like, well, here's 3.
This is just, there's too many things standing out to me in my research for the week when it comes to these matchups. And 2 of the toughest shadow matchups in the league are Atlanta's A.J. Terrell, very talented, emerging defensive back in the NFL right now. And then you look at Marshon Lattimore in New Orleans and what that secondary and defense is doing. So I'm having big downgrades in my rankings this week. I'm not just going to bench them outright for no reason, but when push comes to shove, both Nico Collins, as much as I love him, and Terry McLaurin, I love the guy too, but I've got them significantly downgraded because of those 2 shadow matchups overall. We already know the deal when you play Atlanta. You're going to see less plays. You're going to see less pass attempts because they like to run, and drain the clock out of whoever they're playing on a week-to-week basis. And then with the Saints, Tank Dell, I think this could actually hurt Nico Collins, where the Saints are more vulnerable in the slot. Slot receivers, tight ends, et cetera. I think we could see increased targets for Dalton Schultz. Tank Dell isn't even going to play in this game, which could really help the Saints just completely try to take Nico Collins out of this game as a whole. You're low on C.J. Stroud. That's another reason I'm also low on Nico Collins in week 6.
Let me give up my second wide receiver, and I'm only going to give out one name, unlike Dell, who gives out a list. The one guy I want to talk about, I saved this for last because I knew there was no way Dell was going to take this guy because he hates this team, especially the offense. But let me just give you the names, the numbers that we've seen against this defense the past 3 weeks. Okay, the week three, 12 targets, 8 catches, 111 yards by the wide receiver one. Week four, 13 targets, 9 receptions, 175 yards, and 2 touchdowns by the wide receiver one. And then last week, 10 targets, 8 receptions, 230 yards, and 3 touchdowns by one man, the wide receiver one. And all those offenses were questionable coming into this game, especially last week. The Washington Commanders cannot cover your first wide receiver. They cannot do it. They don't know how. And Drake London, listen. I know this Atlanta team stinks at throwing the ball. I know that Kyle Pitts leads the team in targets, and yet you still would never play him as your TE1. But Drake London last week especially, and his quarterback, actually played pretty well last week. If you have Drake London on your team, again, this is the Steeltown Sleepers. This is a guy you probably are questioning to start altogether. He's been sitting on your bench. You're mad that you drafted him. If you want to start Drake London in any week whatsoever, look at those last three box scores by the wide receiver one of the last three teams Washington has played, and watch how they dominate that awful defense that Jack Del Rio has running over there. They cannot cover the number one target on a team, and I don't understand how or why. I'm not questioning it. I'm just starting Drake London this week. That's my second wide receiver. I could have had you list 10 wide receivers, Dale. You were never going to name Drake London.
No, it's a great call. You see, last week in week five, season high in receiving yards, 78, season high in targets with 9. You know, we know the talent is there. And yeah. Now, in you know, that week one dud where we did inexplicably 1 target, 0 catches, he's had minimum of 6 targets in 4 straight weeks now. So the matchup on – I mean, look, Emmanuel Forbes, they keep trying to trot him out to defend these opposing number one receivers. Emmanuel Forbes, a rookie, is undersized. London, one of his best traits is his size. So this could be an extremely advantageous matchup.
Can't wait.
It's an ugly one by the sound of it, but it actually could turn out really nice. I agree.
Dale, your bust of the week from the wide receiver position before we wrap up the show with the other positions here.
I gave you my bust already, Tony. Nico,
oh, it's McLaurin and Nico.
Those are my
busts. I can't with how many receivers you give out, I can't tell. Let's move on to the tight end position. I gave out Zach Ertz last week, only ended up tight end 11, but again, it was a tough day for those Arizona Cardinals. I'm not doing too well on the buys of the tight end position, so instead I'm going to do the sell. Darren Waller is still ranked way too high in these weekly rankings for me. I think it's a name value ranking only. This New York team stinks, and the matchup they have is not good against tight ends altogether. Yes, Daniel Jones is dying for a big target out there, is dying for a guy to be the first option in this offense, but it might just be a bad offense. I don't like it at all. I'm sitting Darren Waller. If you have another backup, a little no-name, a guy who might be a young player. We saw Michael Mayer suddenly come alive in the first drive of the Raiders game, and then disappeared. The tight end position is always a minefield. I'm staying away from the mine that is Darren Waller this year. Dell, your tight end of the week.
So you're thinking of Halloween here. You're thinking of Michael Mayer, the Michael Myers, the serial killer. It's Michael Mayer. Put some respect on the man's name, Tony.
My fault. Well, I would put some respect on his name, but I think he had his second catch of the year in week five. So I'm waiting for the announcer to say his name so I can learn it.
Yeah, who knows? I don't know what's going on with that. That's a situation you don't want to have any part of in Las Vegas there. But here, I mean, I mentioned this guy in the preseason. I've talked about him on previous shows. And what I'm trying to do with these positions is not list anyone ranked inside the top 10 every week.
Yeah, and unless you're selling them.
Why is the Ferg Daddy ranked outside the top 10? The Ferg Daddy, Jake Ferguson, man, come on. Like, what are we doing at this point here? The highest point total on the week, primetime football, Chargers and Cowboys. I expect a lot of yards, a lot of points in this game. Jake Ferguson, man, like, you know, couple down games, but the two games where he only had 4 and 3 targets, it was when they killed the Jets 30-10 and didn't need to throw. And it's when they lost to the 49ers 42-10 last week, where they kind of just gave up in that second half. And San Francisco,
and it's the best linebacking core in the world.
You always want to downgrade tight ends against the against San Francisco 49ers, right? For the most part. So again, you take out those 2 weeks, he's had 7 targets in all the other 3 games in each of those games. So I expect him to rival CeeDee Lamb for the team lead in targets in this game. We haven't seen much out of Brandon Cooks. Michael Gallup's okay, but we know he's not a high volume target earner either. So I really like Jake Ferguson. I've got him ranked as my tight end 8. Consider moving him up, maybe even close to the top 5 or top 6. And when you just look at the matchup overall, in terms of what the Chargers have done this season, they're actually the 4th best opposing defense for all fantasy positions in general, and then they're slightly below the average middle of the pack in defense, fantasy defense against tight end. So I'm really high on Jake Ferguson. I think he's a locked in top 10 option this week.
He also leads the, if you're talking about a lot of scoring in this game, as you said, highest point total on the week, he leads the team in red zone targets, other than, of course, Tony Pollard, who gets all the action on that team. But Ferguson does lead the team in red zone targets, so I'm right there with you. Dell, your defense of the week, you did it. You cracked the code. You gave up Green Bay last week. They finished as defense 10 overall. Oh. Who is the Dell's defensive play of the week for this week?
Yeah. Let's go, man. Yeah, you know, it's another team I expect to rack up a lot of sacks. That's why I like Green Bay. Look, this team, it doesn't really have a good pass rush, but I don't think it matters against the opposing quarterback. You know, in the first couple weeks of the season, Justin Fields was the sack machine of the NFL. Yeah. Not anymore. The new sack machine king is now Sir Sam Howell of the Washington Commanders. This guy just gets
because he stinks, Dale. I just wanted to clarify that you were big on Sam Howell coming in this year, and I told you Sam Howell stinks. He stinks. He stinks as a quarterback.
But he's still putting up fantasy points, though. He's still putting up, you know, that's a, you know, again, but look, I expect the Falcons defense has played quite well. Their secondary's played really good. I mentioned AJ Terrell earlier. I think they're going to take away Terry McLaurin in this game. And when that happens here, I also think the Falcons offense will have success. If Washington falls behind, they have to drop back 30, 40 times. I expect a lot of sacks. Sacks lead to forced fumbles. Tip passes, interceptions, pick sixes, et cetera, et cetera. So for me, when you're talking about the overall consensus in the industry right now, ECR has him, the industry has him, the Falcons at defense number 11. I've got them four spots higher at defense number 7 overall.
The Dirty Birds are your defense of the week. I like it. And then finally, winner, winner, kicker, dinner. Dell, we've fallen off the kicker wagon. I know we don't want to talk about losses, but we've fallen off the kicker wagon. We got to do better. Winner, winner, kicker, dinner. Who we got?
I'm going to go back to winner, winner, Cameron Dicker. Dicker the kicker. I like Cameron Dicker this week. Again, I'm going to the highest point total on the slate.
Yeah.
Dallas Cowboys and Chargers. Kicker number 12 in ECR. I've got him kicker number 7. You know, even though the Chargers might score a lot of touchdowns, they might struggle efficiency-wise because Herbert's still dealing with that hand injury. They're not going to have Mike Williams. You know, the efficiency in the red zone might not be as high as it was in the first couple weeks of the season. This Dallas defense also will be motivated to show up, so I wouldn't be surprised to see more field goal attempts than usual from Los Angeles given that matchup.
I will say I also like Dallas's kicker. I know he's ranked a lot higher on your boards, but he's having a great season. I don't believe he's missed a kick all year, and he is destroying the ball. And Mike McCarthy is the opposite of Brandon Staley. He will kick a field goal all the time. McCarthy will kick a field goal every single time. As you said, high scoring game. If they get any red zone stops, the Chargers defense, I think McCarthy will be just fine kicking that 3-point ball.
Can ESPN add a picture for Brandon Aubrey from the Cowboys?
He's still a nobody.
He's locked into your Post Gazette fantasy starting lineup. I was looking for him earlier today to add him off waivers. I see him there. They still haven't put a picture next to this guy. Put some respect on Brandon Aubrey's name, man.
He's a good kicker. He's a dang good kicker, but that is it for the Steel Town Sleepers. I'm Tony Squares. That's Chris Dell. Thank you to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette for presenting this podcast, the North Shore Drive podcast family, and of course on YouTube at PG Sports Now. It's week 6, baby. We're only getting deeper into it. Let's go. Oh, man, I can't even say go Pack go anymore. I'm so disheartened by this Packers team, man. Let's just end the show. I'm going to start crying.
All right, let's get